had a wonderful, wonderful Bible study. Let me tell you guys, you're really, really, really missing out. If you have an opportunity to come for that Bible study, there are good things that are happening in that Bible study. And you need to be coming every Thursday. We start at 7, we go home at 9. And what we shared on Thursday, we felt in our hearts that everybody need to hear this, what the Lord was speaking to us on Thursday. And so it is my honor and privilege to welcome my son, Sammy, to the microphone and come and bring us the word of God. Can you appreciate him, please? Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. God is so good. Yes, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Wow. Hallelujah. David said, in Psalms 122, I was glad when they told me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. Who can agree with me and with David and say that I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord? Yes, I am so, excuse me, I'm so glad to be in the house of the Lord because I know one thing, that in the house of the Lord, every good thing comes from the house of the Lord. When you come to the house of the Lord, you will lack nothing. The Bible says, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if you go down up to verse 16, that God was saying that this is his house. This is the house that's called with his name. And because this is the house that's called with his name, his presence dwells here perpetually. And then he continues to say that because this is where his name, this is house that's called according to his name, then all the petitions, all the requests, you know, all the needs are brought to this house, he will hear them and he will answer them. Actually, he says this, I will pay attention, I'll be attentive. You know, he says he'll pay extra attention. I'll be attentive to the Christ and to those needs, and he'll be quick to answer them. Amen? And that's why I want you to join with me and say, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen? Today, you are not here by an accident. You are not here by, I don't know what they call what, bang theory. But you are here because God wants you to be here. You are here for a purpose. You are here with a divine connection. God brought you from wherever you came from, people from the north, east, west, and south, and God has gathered us here, amen? And then you decided not only to come, but you decided to come to this church, amen? Because God has a special purpose for you. God wants, there is a word that God wants you to hear, and you had to be here, amen? So that word can be a blessing to your life and also to our lives as we share it together, amen? For those who don't know me, my name's Sam Ndungonjoroge. I'm married. I have a wife. My wife is over there, fine, beautiful wife. And also, we are blessed with a son, Joroge. You'll see him here going back and forth, and it's a blessing. We came here, I relocated to this city almost 4 years ago from Pennsylvania, and immediately that God brought me here, during that time, Pastor used to put stuff, the band, all these things in a van, and he will come to the motel. We used to meet in a Holiday Inn across the street over there, and he will take those things out. Tony was here, I remember, Anto, and others, few others, and then after the service, then we'll dismantle everything and put them back. And Hilda, evangelist Hilda, brought me here for the first. She invited me, and when she invited me here, actually, I felt the Spirit of the Lord telling me, this is where you need to be. I felt I needed to be here because I was going to be of service. I was going to be of use. I could not stand to see pastor coming and then I'm going somewhere and just sitting down. But I needed to come here and see what the Lord has done. He has given us this beautiful facility, and he's doing great things. He's not done with us yet. He's elevating us, taking us from one level to another. He has good plans for us. Amen. So I know that this is just the beginning. I thank God for all of you who are here, new faces, a lot of new faces, and God is so good. Amen. So I want to thank Pastor for this opportunity. I've never thought I'll be standing here just to minister. I've always thought I'll be at the, you know, at the background, and I like that. But because of God and because of his favor, God has enabled me to be here to stand and just to share with you. Amen. I want to thank Pastor Wilson, wherever he is at, because if it was not for him, actually, he has played a great role of me standing in here. When God brought that man from St. Louis to here, and he became a blessing to many, he became a blessing to me. When I learned what kind of a heart he had, and the desire for God, and the love for God, and the zeal for prayer and for faith, you know, as I went on listening to him, as he shared with us, every time we'll go somewhere, whoever house it was, we'll not leave quickly. We'll stay sometimes up to 2 o'clock. Doing what? Just sharing the word of God, because the word of God was so sweet. Amen. So, and then he started the Bible study. We started coming. I kept coming. And these are the fruits of that Bible study. Amen. So I thank God for sending him our way. And even wherever he is, I continue to pray that the good Lord will continue to elevate him so that his work can continue. Over the course of this week, when Pastor told me I will be sharing the word of God, I didn't know what to do, but I didn't know couldn't say no. But I decided, you know what? I will just come and have a talk. I'm not gonna preach. We're just gonna share. We're just gonna talk back and forth. And I know God has something. You're not gonna be disappointed. God will not disappoint you. Amen. Over the course of this week, actually, and last week, there's a song that has been blessing me. My wife knows me. When I get a good song that blesses me, I will keep every time when that song is finished, I'll say, repeat the song. And that will be my anthem for like 2 weeks. And then that song will continue to minister to me. And I would like you to be minister to that song before I go forward. And I thank God, because when we were worshiping here, that song was played. It's one of my favorite. And it's song number 4, track number 4. And let's listen to this song, and then we'll move forward. Amen? Amen. When that's getting ready, how many were here last Sunday? How was the sermon that was preached? Who can remember what we did? All right, I'll pick up from there. Number 4. Hallelujah. To trust him more. Amen. Amen. When I kept listening to that song, it kept encouraging me. That song kept strengthening me, energizing me. You know, every time I wake up, I remember one time I said, every time I wake up, it's an opportunity that God is giving me. It's a new day. It's another opportunity that God is giving me to make it. You know, if I did not make it yesterday. And I know each and every one of you has dreams, aspiration. Amen. You are here striving to be something. You are here striving to achieve something in your life. You are here to meet some goals, to impact some people in your life. Amen. And each and every day that comes by, each and every day that God gives you, it's another opportunity to make that to achieve that goal. Amen. So sometimes you will be down. Sometimes you see that this dream is very far off. Sometimes you will feel like it cannot be achieved. Sometimes you will have a lot of forces coming against that vision. But that song is just to encourage you to keep trusting in the Lord. Amen? But I would like to make a correction a little bit to that singer. I will say until he comes. Amen? I will not say until I die. I'll say until he comes back. I mean, I'm going to continue trusting him until he comes back. Because he might come tomorrow. He might come, I don't know when. And maybe even after I die. But even before then, I will continue trusting him. Amen? Yeah. So this is just to encourage you. Don't give up. Don't give up even in this walk with the Lord. Continue trusting him for whatever you are trusting him for. Ecclesiastes 9:4 is a great verse. It says this. Let me just read it very quickly, and then we will go to where we're going to be learning today. Ecclesiastes 9:5. For the living know that they shall... Ecclesiastes actually 9:4. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Amen. So don't look down on yourself. Amen. Don't look down on yourself. Sometimes you feel like you are worth nothing. Sometimes you think you are small. Sometimes you think you are insignificant. But the fact that you are alive, the fact that you are living, the fact that you can breathe the good air, you know, you are better than that. You are better than a dead lion. Amen. Because that dead lion, even in his mighty, you know, he can make a roar and I can see the dog scrambling for help and running to the bushes and everything, even if you put them, you know, head to head. But when that lion is dead, despite its strength, its might, he doesn't have hope. Amen? But that living dog, he can still keep wagging the tail. Amen? He can still go and make a hunt and enjoy the meat. Amen? So even for you and for me, don't see as if you're insignificant. When you have that day, when you have tomorrow, keep fighting. Say, you know, this is an opportunity for me to make it. This is an opportunity to make a difference. This is another opportunity to do something and impact the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. So I thank God for his word. We've been learning a lot in the Bible study, and I can see myself, God transforming me, and I can see just as he's told Joshua, when Moses died and Joshua took the mantle, God told him, my servant Moses, Joshua 1, now my servant Moses is dead. He told him, do not be afraid. And he said again and again, do not be afraid. Almost 3-4 times, do not be afraid, because he knew the task that was ahead was so humongous, it was so big, and there was reason for Joshua to be afraid. But verses 8 says this, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, amen, but you shall meditate on it day and night, for when you do that, then thou will make your way prosperous, amen. Yes, the Bible continues to tell us in the book of Psalms 119 and then 130 is a long psalm. It says that the entrance of God's word brings understanding to the simple. Amen. Continue to tell us the 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path. Amen. So then when we take this word of God, those things will become real in our lives. Amen. That this word will be a light to our path, and we're not going to stumble. We are not going to fall off, because this light will be there to illuminate. When there's so much darkness, the light will illuminate, and it will show you this is the way. You can imagine, sometimes you can imagine a vehicle that doesn't have good headlights. You know, sometimes the driver even straining, you know, to see what's coming ahead. You know, a deer might come, and, you know, the reaction time might be slow, and it might be too late. But the word of God, you know, it shines bright. You know, I can see those headlamps, the neon ones. You know, they can see miles and miles away. And even they have those sensors, motion sensors, even everything. So you can be able to see your way straight. When, a sharp turn is coming along, you'll be there comfortable, because the word of God is there to help you do that. Amen? So let's take this word of God and let's make it our friend. Amen? And God will transform our lives. Amen. So today, we're going to talk about a very special person. This person, her name is Dorcas. You know her. Some know her, Dorcas or Tabitha. Dorcas was her name. It was a Greek name, while Tabitha was the Aramaic name. Yeah. So the same thing. And the Bible, we're going to see about her story in the book of Acts chapter 9. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles over there. Acts chapter 9, from verses 36 to 42. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, the meaning of this word, Tabitha or Dorcas, it means a gazelle. it's a gazelle. They have a kind of a gazelle called Dorcas gazelle. And for those who have gone to actually come from Africa or have seen the Wildlife Channel, you have seen the gazelle. The gazelle is a very, 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 very beautiful animal. You know, they like running, you know, throwing their legs back up there and having fun, especially when the grass is green, and especially when life is good, they don't have any lions chasing after them. They are very beautiful. They are very elegant animals. So they will keep jumping. So this name has a meaning. And let's read this and then we will move forward. Now, from 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deed, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in the upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come. Amen. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him, weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. Amen. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon Tanner, that was Peter. Amen. So when you look at this chapter in Acts 9, from Acts 9 up to 36, it talks about Saul. It talks about his conversion, how he met the Lord, how he was knocked down by bright shining light. And just 7 verses here at the end, we are introduced to Tabitha. She wasn't that much known. The Bible says she was a disciple. She was a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so if you look at her, a disciple is somebody who had come to accept Christ, and she was a follower. And she happened to reside in this city, Joppa. And you have heard about her, what she did, how she died. And when she died, they sent for Peter, who was in the nearby city, Lydda, to come. And when he came, it's so moving. The story itself is so special, because even in her insignificance, he was able to come back alive because of her dedication, because of her faithfulness, because of what he used to do. Amen. So I want us to look at Tabitha, and today to look at her, life, see what we can learn from her life, and see the impact that she had. And I pray that you and I will incorporate those deeds, will incorporate those acts in our lives, because those things are very special in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. So first of all, let's look at a few character qualities of Tabitha. She was compassionate. From the story that we read, we see that she was a compassionate woman, always helping the poor. She was motivated, always doing good works. She was faithful. She persevered in the work that God gave her. She was hardworking. She made clothes for many people. You have to understand that during this time, there was no automation. No industry that you could do this spinning and all this, make these coats. So I can see her at night with the needle. It's a very small thing with a needle. At night, there was no electricity. So it's in the lamp, imagine. And she's making these coats, you know, and these clothes for these people, the widows and the orphans. And you know, it just touches your heart when you see her dedication and her productivity. Even in those circumstances, she was able to make many of them. Because you can see even during this time, we were seeing that many people used to have many kids, you know, and so she will make a lot of them, not one, not two. You know, she will bring this, and then she will bring this, and the whole city, you know, she helped these people, and they will have something to show off. This is what you made for us. So she was productive. She made many items of clothing. And one more thing, she also made her, she was available to God. She did what God called her to do. Amen? Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus. Now, when we were looking at this, I've always wanted to help people. My heart, since when I came to America, that was one of my earliest dreams. I kept telling God, when I make it, oh God, I will want to do something. And not even when I make it, God help me to do something, help me to leave a legacy. Because a legacy is a mark that cannot be erased. When you leave that legacy, even when you've gone thousands and even many, many years, should Christ tarry, people will still remember you. Your name will continue to shine bright. Remember what Martin Luther King did, for example. You know, the marches she made in Alabama, the speech she made, you know, I Have a Dream. Many years has passed by, right? But see, her legacy still stands on and moves on. Whenever you hear his speech even today, it will make your hair rise up because it's so inspiring. Amen? So I've always wanted to do something like this. And I was telling my wife, there was a book that I wrote. When, you know, I used to journal a lot when I was a young man before. I used to journal and I remember one time I said, I wanted to start a foundation to take care of the widows and the orphans. That was like maybe 2003 or 2002, way back. And then I even opened a bank account. I wanted to do this so much. I think it was Bank of America in Pennsylvania. I opened a bank account, I put like $40. But things started to get hard, difficult. I remember, I don't even know what happened. I think I went back and drew the money. And I said, these people will keep taking all 50 cents, 50 cents, 50 cents, because I'm not adding anything. But my heart has always been there. And I was telling her, when I see that book, I will show you. This is not something that it's starting to get, you know, about it today. But it's something that God has always put in my heart. And then after that, I said this. That's what I was thinking now, coming back, you know, lately. I was like, you know, sometimes you have a vision, but its time is not yet. So God is starting to prepare you that miles and miles away and to make your heart receptive to that, you know. And then the time will come when it will be the right time, and then you will see what you have gone through. And when you look back, you will say, wow, God, see this dream that I had. And I remember sitting down in my car one day and writing what I would like to do. And I, you know, it's there. Amen? So this is just to, when I read about what Lydia did and what Dorcas did, I could identify with her. I could identify with her. And my prayer tonight this evening is that as we continue to look at this study, you will identify with her. You will desire to do what she did because it's noble. It's a noble thing. I'm telling you, we will look here and you will be shaking because God thinks about these people so much. God thinks about the widows and the orphan in a way you have never imagined. And you know what? The Bible says my people, Hosea 4:6, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Sometimes we don't know, and sometimes we perish. Sometimes you are struggling, but because some principles in the Bible you are ignoring. Yes, you are doing some, and some you don't know, you are ignoring them. But the Bible says the entrance of his word brings light. So when his word enters into our lives, when we know the truth, we're going to apply those truths, and then we're going to take God to his word. We'll tell God, you watch your word to accomplish it, Father. I'm doing it, Lord. Even when you are praying, you have something, you have a petition, you have something, an item you can bring in his presence. Amen. So let's look at the Bible, in the book of Exodus 22:21-23. This comes to answer our question: why should we do this? Why does God care so much about helping the orphans and the widows? So Exodus 22:21-23. Exodus 22:21-23. We'll open several scriptures today so that they can help us. Okay. All right. I will start in 21, then go up to 23. This is God talking to the children of Israel. Thou shalt neither, I'm reading from King James Version, thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor possess him, nor oppress him, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. Now, 22. You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and when they cry unto me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. Yeah, when we looked at this, it made me so scared, because God thinks about these people in a very special way. These people, they don't have a natural covering. These people, they are forgotten. They don't have anybody to help them. Imagine you've seen this, and I thank God for the speaker last week. We talked about the father, and he gave a good illustration about a father, and he gave an illustration of Denzel Washington in that movie, John Q. And you could see John Q. He was a father. Amen. You can see how hard he fought to protect his son. He could not let his son just die like that. You know, he went to extreme measures, and that made his son to get the heart transplant. Amen. You remember the Smiler guy, the cartoon character, how he used to be proud because of his father, flexing muscle, you know, knowing my daddy is here, you know, he will be there for me. Nobody can, you know, he could go with his shoulders high because there was somebody who could make his case. Amen. But look at these people. He's a widow. He's an orphan. When things go wrong, the orphan doesn't have anybody to go to tell. You can see him when people are going for a game or other going for fishing. He'll be left at home because he doesn't have a daddy to go with him play ball. You know, he doesn't enjoy all those things because he doesn't have that natural covering. When there is calamity, when there is lack in the house, the father is always there to go and find meat. You know, I can see an orphan most of the time going hungry, you know, and even not having enough clothes to wear because that natural covering is not there. You know, during this time of Moses, when the father died, and even if he had the land, the mother could not inherit it. It was very serious, and the mother could not inherit the land. She had to be married by somebody in the family to be able even to inherit that land. So it was a bad situation, and this came into the eyes of God, and that's why he's saying, "If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath," you know, wrath, God's wrath. You don't want the wrath of God to come your way, and God's wrath will be there. And how do you afflict somebody by ignoring them? If you afflict somebody, you might afflict somebody by, you know, wounding them physically, but you can even by neglecting them, you can cause harm. I was looking at this, by even neglecting them, by looking the other side, yes, you can cause a lot of harm because, you know, it's not my problem. I'm just concerned about my family, my people, and we are good at that. You know, we want to make sure we provide for them. You don't matter how many times they call you, and they don't even appreciate it because I have somebody from America, I have somebody from where, I know and I cry, they can hear. But these people don't have anybody to cry to. And so God takes their case very, very seriously, and he says he will hear them. Listen to this. Let's look in Deuteronomy 24:17 to 21. This one also was very powerful. And there are so many verses about these people. Please, when you get time, just go look in the Bible. You will be encouraged. You will be built up, and then God will open your eyes to what we need to be doing. Let's look in Deuteronomy 24:17 to 21. Deuteronomy 24. Are we there? Deuteronomy 24:17 to 21. And I read, "Thou shalt not pervert judgment of the stranger, nor of the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge. But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in the field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands." Amen. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thy hands. Amen. So you see what God is talking to us here. You know, he's pleading their case still. And sometimes I was like, that's why sometimes you are working so hard, and the work of your hand is not blessed, because yes, you are fulfilling a lot of requirements of the word of God, but we are neglecting this part, amen. And this when I was thinking, sometimes that's why. When we work so hard, but we don't see the fruits of our labor. And then when I read this, I was like, look, it's here. So that validated that. And I was like, thank you, Jesus, because another answer is here. And now because God is opening up our eyes, then if we do these things, God will bless us. And then we will start seeing changes in our lives. Amen. So Bible truth illustrated by her life. She helped the least of this. Amen. Matthew 25:35-40. It talks about when Christ was saying at the end of the time, when Christ come back, he will have some people on the right and some people on the left. And on to the right, he will tell them, I came to you. Let's read it real quick. It's gonna be much sweeter if we do it. Matthew 25:35-40. Okay, are we over there? All right. "For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. I was naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee hungered, and fed thee? Or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in? Or naked, and clothed in thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer, and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done into one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it to me." Amen. So that's the one of the Bible truth illustrated. Sometimes you see these people, they were the righteous on the right hand. They're asking these questions. But he's telling them, when you did this to the least, and this is a group of the least, you did it unto me. So when we did this, we are honoring God. We are answering his cry. That's what we are answering. When we touch these people, when we remember these people, we are answering God's cry. And then God will bless us. Amen. She was also a doer of the word. Amen. Yeah, the Bible says, you know, it's not only good to hear, but it's good to hear and to do it. Amen. Because we will be blessed when we do it. When Jesus was teaching the disciples about the principle of servanthood, he washed their feet. And he did this to all of them. And I see Peter, you know, the story, saying, jumping up and saying, "No, you cannot wash me." Then he told him, "If you don't, I don't get for you, you're gonna not be in fellowship." But he said, "Okay, wash me even the hands and even the feet." But at the end there, he says, "You will be blessed if you do these things." You know, yes, you will be blessed if you do these things. Amen. So we need to be doers of the word of God. Let's turn to James 1:22, for an illustration of this truth. James 1:22. James. Okay. James 1:22. Actually, Lorraine is faster than me. Actually, I can go with that. Yeah, King James Version, so that's good. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Amen. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So we see Tabitha here. We introduced to her. We are not told about her background. We are not told about her genealogy. She was born by this and her father and her brothers and all the lineage that we are accustomed to. So in the word of God, sometimes we read a character like Abraham. We are brought from far back, from about Moses. We are brought from her lineage, you know, the mother, the parents. We are not even told about her parents in this case. She was very unknown, but when she became a disciple of Christ, when she accepted Christ in her heart, when she made her the Lord, she made God the Lord and God of her heart, then, and she read the word of God, then she came to that truth where Jesus taught. She came to that principle what Jesus taught, saying, when you help the least of these, you did to me. She took it and she ran with it. Yeah, she did it and she took it, and then that's what she did. And the same thing the word of God is imploring us. When we hear these truths, when the word of God illuminates these truths, let's not just say it and say start procrastination. I've been looking at my life. I've been saying, my God, every time I say when I make this much, I will start doing it. When I get this much, I keep postponing it. But you know, I've come to realize it's never gonna come. We need to start it now. With the least much that God has given you, entrust with whatever little God has entrusted you, take it, start now. And then God will see that heart and he will start multiplying it. He will start opening your eyes to more avenues. And then your desire and your dreams will come to pass. Because if you keep postponing, life is a struggle. And every day, as I was saying, you look, you know, it's every day you an opportunity. So let's not keep procrastinating and doing these things. But once we hear about things, let's take it to heart and let's start applying it. And I know when we do this, just like Hezekiah, when he was sick and he was about to die, when the report came, you're going to put your house in order because you're going to die. What did he do? He turned to the wall and he cried to God and told him, remember the things that I have done to you. Remember what he brought his petition. Amen. And Prophet Isaiah had not even left the compound. God told him, turn around, go back, tell him, I've heard your cry. And you know what? Your ears, 15 more years. Amen. Yes, it's good to have something that we can bring in the face of the Lord, in the good works. You know, faith without works is dead. Yes, it's good to have faith. You know, even if you have faith that can move mountains, but it doesn't help the works, you don't have anything to show for it. It's good to have faith, but let it be a working faith, a live faith, you know, and that way it will be able to make an impact in people's life. Amen. So we see that she was a doer of the word. And this is beautiful. She displayed true religion. She displayed to others what Christianity is all about. Yeah, let's read in James 1:27. Actually, the book of James, I remember one speaker was here not too long ago from North Carolina. He was saying James was one of the most practical book that's written, because it was written by the brother to Jesus, James, the brother of Jesus. So he was very practical when he wrote this book. So let's look at it. James 1:27. This is what pure religion is. Pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Amen. Sometimes we pay much attention to the bottom part, and we keep ourselves unspotted from the world, and we strive so much to achieve that, but we forget to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Amen. And when we were talking about this, I looked at myself and I was like, my God, look at all this time that I've been here, what can I say? What can I? And you know what? We even have widows in the city. We have the fatherless in the city. I know you don't need to do so much. I was like, what is the last time? And this brought so much sadness in my life, in my heart. When is the last time I went with a bag of sugar to a widow? Just for the fact that she's a widow. And I'm obeying that principle. When is the last time? When did I go with a bag of sugar, with a bag of wheat flour, and just say, I came to see you and to appreciate you and just to give you a list to listen to her, you know, and talk? You know, it hasn't happened because I'm always striving for these greater things. I want these bigger things. I want to build an orphanage, you know. We see, look at her. She was unknown, nobody knew about her, but she impacted that village. She impacted those people. Amen. So my prayer from this study is like, I want us, when we hear this, let's not just sit down there. Let's do something. Let's do something. Let's think about these people. And sometimes, even when I was thinking about this, I started, you know, I told God, I'm sorry. For sometimes you see in the TV, these people who are asking for money for the orphans, and you become judgmental. You know, and some of these people know the truth. They have already realized the truth. And on our part, we become judgmental. Even if I give, they're going to spend it the wrong way. But they have known this truth. They have long time ago known this truth. And they are advancing that cause, the orphans. Yes, some of them might not be faithful, whatever. But they know this truth. And that's what they are there asking for, often. And you see this because there are millions and millions of these people, and God is entrusting us, the servants, his servants, to plead their case. Amen. So let's do something. Let's rise up to the cause. Let's think about these people, even in the city. Let's start with our Jerusalem. Let's start with our surrounding. Visit them with a bag of sugar. It's the greatest honor, even a bag of sugar. I'm not asking a lot. But a lot. And you know what? When we talked at this, I was like, when we came for that Bible study on Thursday, my wife had come from, she had come from school, and she was tired, and she was like, I don't think I'm going to go today. And I told her, you know, let's go. Because I needed her to hear this, but not from me speaking to her in the house. I wanted her to come and hear us sharing it in the Bible study. And then when I prodded her, and she was like, okay, we're going to go. So we came, and I was so happy because from these, amongst others, we were able to, and you know the beauty of Bible study, you're given an opportunity to share, to speak up, you know, to say what you think about these issues, and it comes out beautiful. I'm telling you, we were leaving here at almost 10 p.m., and we had to say, let's go home, because our hearts were stirred, I'm telling you. We felt like we have missed the mark. We have spent a lot of time. We have neglected these people for so long. We haven't been listening. Our eyes have not. We have been seeing, but there's some flakes in our eyes. But when God brought this issue into our lives, we were stirred and we were so passionate. And we told the Lord, Lord, help us. From today, we want to renew this commitment. We want to do something. We want to start this work afresh because you have brought it to our attention. Holy Spirit, thank you, because you are the one who reminds your people when they go and there's a way that you see they are not going the right way. Yeah, the Holy Spirit whispers and brings us back. And then when we see that road, we follow it. And then when we follow it, we start seeing a difference in our lives, and we start making a difference in other people's lives. Amen? Amen. I just love the Word of God. The Word of God is so sweet. David said, the Word of God is sweeter than honey. Yeah, and this is so evident. If you meet a group of people and you start talking about the Word of God, it's so sweet. It's, you know, even when you had problems, I'm telling you, you had issues coming, when you come, those problems start melting away when you are at His presence, when you are in His and getting fed. Your spiritual man, the spirit man, the most important person is the spirit man, the inner man. When that man starts getting the nourishment, and the nourishment comes from the Word of God, that man starts expanding. That man starts getting muscles, and that man starts flexing, you know, and, you know, that man starts feeling good. And when the inner man is feeling good, even the outer man will start showing. You know, the outer man will also be strong. Amen? So it was very special, and hallelujah. So the main thing of this thing was just to start a conversation between you, between me, between our families, and I know Pastor will be talking about it more, And I thank God even for the course they are going to do, for the plan. It's still in the line of doing the same thing. But we can do more. We can do more than this. Amen? We can do more than this. You know what? When we were going home, me and my wife, we decided, well, you know what? Every month we're going to be giving a Tabitha check. You know, a Dorcas bill. You know, how the more you make like a phone bill or whatever, we're going to have a Dorcas bill. And we make it a part of us. We're going to make it a part of us, and I'm praying God, same thing, even in you, yourself, and your family, even individually, you will make a place for a Dorcas check. Identify somebody in need. Go visit them. Even if it's that month, go especially the widow and the orphan. Go give them groceries. Go give them a pay for their phone bill. You know, it doesn't cost much. Even if you are from Africa, you are from somewhere else, or you are from here, you can identify with a group that does that. You can give $10. And that's more than enough, because you are pleading the cause of the Lord. Amen? Yes. You know, when it's so interesting in this, in Deuteronomy, we saw that God told them, when you go and you harvest, don't go the second time. No, don't go pick up everything. Leave those for the orphans. So that, and for the widows and for the fatherless, so that they can come and collect. And we see even Ruth, that's how she met Boaz. After Boaz had harvested, she went back and she started, you know, gathering. Because, you know, Ruth, we know the story, how she had left her people and joined Naomi. And so there's a blessing, you know, that truly illustrated there. They were not collecting everything. You know, the vine, when they harvested, they could not collect, because that was a principle from God. Amen? So, and I was like, what's our vineyard now? We are in here. We don't have a vineyard, wheat and all that good stuff. But we are working. That's our vineyard. So let's not eat everything. Let's not, you know, let's not eat everything from this vineyard, because that's our vineyard, the where you go to work and you work 12 hours, you know, you work hard, and then you come home when you drive that truck for 10 hours and, you know, you are sleeping and God is blessing you and He's keeping you alive, He's protecting you, He's watching over you, you know. It's beautiful when God is doing all these great things in your life, protecting your family and giving you the strength and the sound mind even to do what you are doing. Let's not eat everything and forget the orphans and the widows. Let's take a part of it and let us put that into the account. And the good God, when we obey this truth, I'm sure we're gonna start seeing differences. Yes, we are making differences in other areas of our lives where we are supposed to, but let's not neglect this one. It's so important. You see what God is saying. If they cry unto me and I hear, then His wrath, the wrath of God, will wax hot. Yes, amen. Are we getting something? God is so good. I love this God. And so some of the transferable concepts, we need to remember that true religion is not just studying for knowledge, but for application. We need to become doers of the word. We need to become doers of the word. It's so beautiful about Dorcas. I looked at this scene. I looked at her. I looked at how people, she was so loved. We were talking, Pastor was saying, it's not only, we see Dorcas, she was a wonderful woman. We see her, if you went to her house and another opportunity was created for you to go visit her again, you will not hesitate. You will be running because of the way she made you feel. It's not about just giving you the coat, because I can be having 10 in the house out of the, you know, and then I just give you one. Okay, you use this, you know, it's a little bit tight, you know, or I have extra shoes there, you know, this one I wore 2 times. You can, you know, no, it's not like that. But we don't see her like that. It's the way she made you feel. She made you feel special. She spent time with you. She supported not only your physical need of the clothing, but also the spiritual need. She ministered to these people. She spoke with them. These people have diverse needs. They have needs. They have issues with the kids. Kids are going rowdy, unruly, and all this. And they don't have discipline issues. But when they will go to her, she will bring them to the cross. Let's pray. We can do this. And you see, we saw she was a special person to these people. She was loved by these people. She was adored by these people. We could see kids running in the city. You know, this one and that one and that one crossing, crisscrossing, and they would have something to show for her. And let me tell you, when she died, these people, my goodness, when their cry reached up to heaven, they knew Peter was in leader.
And it's a nearby city. And we are hearing that Peter is doing great things. People are getting healed. You know, even by passing his shadow, people are getting alive. You know, people are getting raised up. You know, and they were like, let's head for Peter. We cannot let her go like that. Who are we going to be looking up to? And when Peter hears the news, he comes. He knows this is an opportunity. These people, there must be two men were sent to go get him. And when he came, the Bible tells us he went to the upper room. When Tabitha died, they washed her. They put her in the upper chamber. And so when he came, they took him over there. And he could see the sorrow, the crying. These people, they were crying, the widows, they were. And you know what did the Bible tells us? When these people cry unto me, I will listen. I will listen. Because he is there. The Bible says in Psalms 68, I think verses 4, he is the defender of the widowless and the fatherless. He's their defender. He's their judge. You know, so imagine these people don't have an advocate. He's the advocate. So, and he's the defender. So he will make it. He will make sure their case is listened. You cannot ignore these people. You cannot ignore them because we tend to do that. When there's nobody, I don't have money. I cannot have good counsel. You know, my case will not be pleaded the right way. But these people will be getting ignored, but God will plead their cause. He will be the advocate. And not only the advocate, even the judge. Amen? And he will make sure their cause is there. And it will be done in expense for those people who are not doing what they are supposed to do. And who are those people? It's us. And the word of God is telling us, arise, arise. Look at these people. Don't forget about them. So Peter comes in here, you know, and I see him, you know, short man, you know, built and all coming in. And then they take him there. And then he tells them, step outside. Yes, he had been with the master. He had been with Jesus. He had seen Jesus raise up people. Lazarus was one of them, you know. And you know Peter, he was the weakest. He was the mightiest and also one of the weakest of them. You know, we see him denouncing Christ when things get hard. You know, he say, "Oh, I don't even know him," and it's just a girl asking him, "I think you look like that Hebrew guy." You are, "Oh, not me," and he takes the corner. But we see him now here after Christ has gone, having been with the Master, having known who God was, he knew what was at stake. And he knew God needed to do something in this case. He needed to bring back this loved one. And they stepped outside and he prayed. He knelt down. He prayed. He knew how to call this God. He knew how to activate the power of God. And we see he did not struggle. You don't see him giving a lot of prayers, a lot of calling, a lot of jazz and sarakasi. We see him just calling, and here Tabitha comes, and she woke up and she presented them to them. Can you imagine the joy these people felt? Can you feel it? It must have been great. These people were overjoyed. You know, these people were exalted. They were excited. It was, you know, the whole of Joppa. It was known in the whole of Joppa. And the Bible, what does the Bible say? Many came to the Lord because of that. Amen. So, God is good. This is something very special. Let's do it. Let's do it. And when we do it, we're going to be fulfilling one of the important things that God wants us to do while we are here. Amen. We have so much on our shoulders. And let's not wait for so much to accumulate. Let's start slowly. Let's start moving forward. And with the good God, if you have been dreaming of an orphanage, I know many people here dream of doing things like this. Start with that one, two, three. You'll see God starting expanding, connecting you with the people of influence. Pastor gave us a good example, and I know he will tell you about it later. It was about a friend of his who took to heart this issue, and now God is doing wonderful things in his life. Amen. Catherine was sharing, and she told us, Evangelist Wairimu, one time they were sharing, and she told them, when you take care of these people, the fatherless, the widows, even your children, you don't have to pray for them most of the time, because you're watching, you're taking care of God's business. God will watch care of your children. God will watch care of your people, because you are touching his heart. The pleasure of God is to see these people taken care of. Amen. God is so good. And one more last illustration I will give. When I came here also, there was a lady in our village. Her husband had been killed. And so she had a son who was going to high school. So he wasn't going to go to high school. Primary was, he said, it's free, but high school, you know, you have to pay. But he was going to not go to high school and just stay home because they could not afford it. So when they told me about it, you know, I told mommy, don't worry about it. I will be paying for this boy's tuition. And I paid for that boy's tuition. 4 years, he graduated. I'm telling you, even my wife, she's our witness. This boy calls me even now. He loves, you know, he's so special to me. He calls me more than sometimes my brothers do. My brother will stay for months and months, and he will call me every now and then. He said, I'm doing well. God helped me. He helped him. He finished high school. He became so industrious. He's an electrician right now. He's married. He has, I think, 2 kids. And you can see the appreciation that does. So it's not too late, friends. It's not late. We can do this. Let's do something. It's good when you come from America, brothers and sisters, to say this. This is what I did when I was in America. When God brought me to that land of plenty, I did not just come with my own stuff. I did not come with my own progress, but I also progressed the cause of others who nobody could progress it for them. And that's the beauty. That's the legacy that we need to do. When you have a life that, like, you look back, when you have those people who didn't have a shoulder to cry for, when you see these young people coming and you haven't even met them, and they are coming, they are celebrating, you tell them, God, thank you. Because I say this, when God brought you here, he brought you with a purpose. There is somebody he wants you to reach. He knew he will place you here for that purpose. If you fail not, if you don't miss the mark, if you stay in your position, definitely God will bring that to pass. And I know a lot of people here are doing that, Reverend Boyd. I know a lot of people are doing the same thing in the city. And I know God will bless them. So I love you all. Thank you for the opportunity to talk with you and to share with you. I need to do more. You need to do more. You can do more. And as cooperative as a church, we can do more. And we will see God moving in our behalf. Amen. I'm going to get up to there. Pastor, you're going to come and continue. Amen.